And I'm reading verse 30 of John chapter 12. Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. The Lord Jesus only had one death to die. I'm glad that the Word of God itself interprets the meaning of verse 32 for us. It is the death of Christ that is involved in the lifting up of the Savior upon the cross. When he was an infant, Herod the king tried to slay him. When he was a man, the people of the city of Nazareth tried to throw him from a cliff. In Judea, they lifted up stones to end his life by the cruel means of stoning. In the ship, on the storm-tossed Sea of Galilee, the disciples feared they would all drown. The Savior could not die in any of those ways. He must be lifted up. Here in the Gospel of John, in chapter 3 and verse 14, he said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." The cross is an absolute necessity to the Lord Jesus. It was his reason for coming. In John's Gospel, chapter 8 and verse 28, he speaks of the testimony of being lifted up. And he said, "When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he." But here in John chapter 12, the lifting up of the Savior is the attraction for the poor sinner who knows his need of Christ. And he said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me." That means all men, regardless of their color, their ethnic background, their circumstances, their social position, their economic level, regardless of any of those things. He will draw all men, irrespective of class or kind, he will draw all men unto him. The cross has been called the attraction that repels. I think we should make it clear for some who are present in the meeting tonight that the cross was never used as a religious symbol while anyone was alive who had ever seen a crucifixion. Crucifixion is such a stark horror. No one would ever have thought of making a cross an object of veneration. It was the most shameful and the most cruel of deaths. The Lord Jesus said, he must be lifted up. And if he is lifted up, he will draw all men unto him. You see, the Lord Jesus knew exactly what death he would die. Could I stop again in the meeting and remind you of what you have heard in the first half? What death will you die? Friend, is that too personal a question? But oh, you say, "Preacher, I don't know the answer." No, and neither do I. My friend, I know this. As I turn to this Bible, I find there are really only two ways to die. There are those who die in their sins. They die without a Savior, and they die without a hope for eternity. How many today in this large city have gone the way whence they shall not return? How many of them died without a Savior in Toronto, the city of churches? But friend, you could die in Christ. You could die knowing the Lord Jesus is your Savior and heaven is your home, and leave this world with glad hope in your soul and a blessed prospect of heaven before you. And that's why these gospel meetings are convened. I think you'll notice that the Lord Jesus really uttered a miraculous prophecy. I'll have to explain that to you. You know, we live in a day of skepticism, a day of unbelief such as has never been paralleled in the history of Christendom. The Lord Jesus gives us here a powerful evidence of the truth of His words. You see, the Jews had known the true God for 1500 years. They had known of this God of eternity who manifested Himself in grace and in love as well as in justice and truth. But how far had the Jews made known their knowledge of God? How effective had their testimony been to the nations around them? There was a queen of Sheba. There was a captain of the host of the Syrians. And there was one or two others here or there who were influenced. But how few, how very few had ever heard of Israel's God? And here's a man, and he stands on one of the most obscure corners of this world, and he says, if I am lifted up, if I am lifted up on a cross of shame, all men, the whole world of men, will be drawn unto me. Is it true? Has it happened? Why would he dare to say such a thing? How could a mere man ever make such a claim? It's not a mere man, my friend. This is God, the Son, from heaven. And He says if He's lifted up, He will draw all men unto me. What a claim. Thank God it's true. Here's a sinner standing before you tonight. And on a Friday night in the city of Toronto, over 40 years ago, I was drawn to that blessed Savior. And I say tonight, that man of Calvary has won my heart from me and died to set me free. Blessed man of Calvary. He drew me with cords of love. And as a guilty sinner and a hell-bound sinner, I was drawn to the lifted-up Savior who hung on the cross for my sins. What a claim. But oh, what a crime. It was men who lifted Him on that tree. It was men who took my blessed Savior and they battered Him and they beat Him and they made Him unrecognizable and they turned His back into a gory plow field. You know, the Jews had some humanity about them. They only gave a man 39 stripes. Have you noticed, if you've read the New Testament, the Apostle said, Paul said, that 5 times he had received 40 stripes, save one. Why was that? The Jews actually would never give a man more than the 40 stripes. And just to make sure they didn't make an error, they always made it one less if they could, 39. The Romans had no such scruples. They bound a man's hands above his head, and a powerful Roman soldier took a lash made of 2 substances, leather and lead. And they brought that lash down upon a man's bare back. And the first blow even would make the red welt stand. And 2 or 3 blows later, the back would be swollen where the heavy lead and the tearing leather struck it. It wasn't too long until the swollen flesh would break and tear open. And they would lash the man until he fainted and hung upon the bonds that held his hands. And many a man died from the lashes. Many a man. The Lord Jesus said, the plowers plowed upon my back. They made longer furrows. What a crime. What a crime, my friend. And yet, in that cross of Christ, in that lifted up Savior upon the tree, I see my own heart reflected. For as a guilty sinner, one who deserved God's judgment, I cost the Savior the agonies of Calvary. I have often, in a gospel meeting, quoted those words. Around the cross, the throng I see, mocking the sufferer's groan, and yet my voice, it seems to be as if I mocked alone. 'Twas I that shed that precious blood. I nailed him to the tree. I crucified the Son of God. I joined the mockery. What a crime. Dear Charlie Bagnato, that some of you knew in this city years ago, used to rise up in the Brock Avenue Gospel Hall and give out hymn number 6 in our Believer's Hymn Book, and bow his head with the tears coursing down his cheeks, and read, "It was for crimes that I have done," he groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. But what a call this is. The Savior, the lifted up Savior, with the nails in his hands. He calls lovingly tonight. He calls tenderly. Dear man in this large company tonight. Dear woman present here. Dear young man, perhaps a college student here tonight. Have you ever heard the tender, loving, patient call of the Savior? He calls tonight. He calls me still. How can I stay? My heart I yield without delay. Vain world, farewell, from thee I part. The voice of God has reached my heart. It's a lifted up Savior who calls tonight. And he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. I want to tell you tonight, not only about the condemnation of the world, for in the cross I see the world condemned. Do you wonder that there's judgment from God against sin? Listen, friend, it's in the cross of Christ that the world is truly judged. That's what the Lord Jesus said. Now is the judgment of this world. How was the world judged? In what they did to the Savior. The world was on trial that day. Did you think it was only Christ before Pilate that was being tried? No, the world was on trial there. This is the condemnation of the world, the Savior says. If you're not saved tonight, if you've never trusted this Savior as were yours, you're part of a world that is condemned by the lifted up Christ. But it's the crushing of Satan. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. But oh, it's the company of the redeemed that he's speaking of. He says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. I would love to take you to the cross tonight, my friend. I would love to take you there as I have been there, and as many in this company tonight have been to the cross. The Spirit of God himself must do that. But I would like to tell you of 3 things I see in the cross tonight. And I see them here in this grand gospel text. If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. I wonder if you ever felt the drawing power. Have you ever been attracted to the Savior upon the tree? I'm impressed tonight with the words of 1 Corinthians 1:18. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish tasteless. Tasteless. That's the word the Lord Jesus uses of the salt that has lost its taste. It is tasteless. What is the cross to you? What is the lifted up Savior to you tonight? Is it tasteless to you? Is there no attraction in Christ for you? Is there no love responding from your heart to the love that was displayed at the cross? But the 3 things that I would like to point out to you at the close of this gospel meeting tonight are things that you must understand if you're ever to be in heaven. Friend, if you're ever to know what it is to have your sins all forgiven, you must understand this, that the cross is God's attitude towards sin. It's strange language to men in our day to speak of absolute holiness and inflexible justice. Men draw back with wonder when you speak of a God who changes not, who is absolutely holy and who hates sin with a perfect hatred and who must punish sin. But that's what this Bible teaches. You see, my friend, the cross is God's attitude toward sin. It wasn't only an innocent man who hung bleeding upon the tree, but it's a holy one. An innocent man might have died for one of his fellow men who were guilty. Only a holy man, only the holy, sinless, and perfect Son of God, the impeccable Christ, the sinless Christ, could die for guilty sinners like you and me. And in the cross I see God's attitude towards sin. How vile is sin? How great is your sinnership tonight? How deep dyed is it? Look to the cross, friend. Do you see the lifted up Christ? Do you see the darkness descend at noonday and blanket the sky and shroud the earth in darkness? And alone, upon the tree, the Savior suffers. That's God's attitude toward sin. With all the power of His being, God declares, sin must be punished. I'll never be punished for my sins. Oh, friend, that's our testimony tonight. I'll never be punished for my sins. Why, you say? Because there was a substitute, and He was punished in my place. What a wondrous truth. We sang tonight a hymn. The one verse we omitted is the verse that has been impressed upon my heart today. And when I think that God, His Son not sparing, gave Him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, He bled, He died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to Thee, how great Thou art. How great Thou art. In the cross I see God's attitude toward sin. Stern justice must be satisfied. Inflexible holiness must be met. The Savior on the cross has met the demands of justice. Stern justice now demands no more. Friend, if you trust that Savior is yours tonight, you need never fear the wrath of God upon you for your sins. Listen to this lovely text from the lips of the Savior. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. But in the cross I see something greater. So far as I, the sinner, am concerned, I see God's answer to sin. God's attitude towards sin is seen in what the Lord Jesus suffered. God's answer to my sin is seen in His death for me. Friend, have you found the answer? In the city of Detroit, a large vehicle was moving down through the expressways one day, and on the back of it we noticed the words had been printed carefully and neatly, Christ is the answer. And some person mockingly had scratched upon the dirt on the back of the truck, what is the question? What is the question tonight? The question is your sins. Your sins that will bar you from heaven. Your sins that will keep you from God forever. What is the answer? The crucified Christ. The lifted up Savior on the cross. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Oh friend, there's a Savior who would draw you tonight to Himself. Because He loved you so. He gave Himself. You know, never was silence so eloquent as the silence of that blessed Savior crowned with thorns upon the tree. silent in his agony. What eloquence in the silence of my blessed Savior upon the cross. Never was meekness so majestic as when the Lord Jesus, by meekness and defeat, won the meeting crown, trod all his foes beneath his feet by being trodden down. Never was suffering so great as the suffering of my blessed Savior alone upon the tree. Oceans of suffering that you could never fathom. He suffered. He suffered for sins. He suffered once for all for sins. And those who trust Him need never suffer for their sins. Is that simple enough? It's simple enough for me. When I think of the cross, its simplicity and its grandeur touches my deepest being. Because never, my friend, was suffering so great as what my Savior suffered. Never was a love so expressed as the love of Christ when He loved me and He gave Himself for me. That, to me, is three of the grandest words I know in all the Bible. You say, where are they found? Galatians 2 and 20. He loved me. How personal that is. He loved me. Why did He love me? Not a reason in me. Not a cause. I was unlovely and unlovable. But He loved me. And He gave Himself for me. Oh, I wish you could say that tonight, friend. From your heart of hearts. You could say, thank God I'm the sinner for whom Christ has suffered. Never was love so expressed as that love of the Lord Jesus upon the tree. Never was a life so freely given as when He gave Himself for me. I'm using the personal pronoun. I'm doing it intentionally. Well, do I remember that night, only a short time after I was saved? And the man about whom I'm speaking now has a son in this audience tonight. This dear gentleman took me into his home one night after a meeting. A few were gathered there in the home. And the conversation was about the Lord Jesus and His love to sinners and His death on the cross. And he asked an older man if he would tell us how he was saved. And he did it gladly and he did it well. And then he asked the person next to that older man how they were saved. And they told their story. And by this time I was beginning to tremble. I could see he was coming around the circle and he was going to get to me. Finally, he said, Norm, we hear you've got saved. How did it happen? And I tell you, with faltering lip and stumbling words, I told of that night on a Friday night about 8:45 sitting at a gospel meeting. Dear Mr. Sam McEwen preaching the gospel out of his heart with power from God. And I told of that moment when as a lost sinner thinking there was nothing for me but hell, it dawned on me that when the Lord Jesus hung on that cross, He died for my sins. And I trusted Him there. When I told my story, I didn't tell it near so well as I told it tonight, I assure you. When I'd finished telling it, I looked around at them to see what they would think, and they all were smiling. And he said, we're going to sing a hymn. And dear Mr. Dark, because that's the man I'm speaking about, he had us gather around the piano there in the living room of the home. And they sang a hymn I never heard before in my life. And it's never been far from my thoughts these 40 years and more. There's one above all earthly friends, whose love all earthly love transcends. It is my Lord and Christ divine, my Lord. Because I know He's mine. I know He's mine. This friend so dear. He lives with me. He's ever near. 10,000 charms around Him shine. And best of all, I know He's mine. Dear friend, can you say in this audience tonight, preacher, I know He's mine. Forget the preacher tonight. before the eye of the holy God who looks from heaven upon you with tender love. Dear friend, will you take His Son tonight? Will you take the Lord Jesus for yourself? Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Will you trust Him now? Will you answer to God for that love that was so expressed at Calvary? In the cross, I see the acceptance of God, that sinners may come and be accepted on that ground. Will God receive you? Will tonight He be ready to forgive even you? Listen, friend, the Savior said, "Him that cometh to me, I will never cast him out." Will you come tonight? To the lifted up Christ. He's not on the cross today. He has ascended to the Father's right hand. He's an exalted Lord. He lives. And He's ready to save you now, if you'll only trust Him. God grant you may. His name's sake. Shall we speak to the Lord? Our Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee, acknowledging to Thee our deep need, confessing, Lord, that we cannot save anyone. Yet in this company there are so many who need the Savior. We fear to see them go on as they are. We tremble for them, Lord, when we think that this is their opportunity and they might miss it forever, that they might go out of this meeting tonight and they might go out into eternity without Christ. God grant that they may come to the Savior even now. We pray, Lord, that we might have the joy of seeing souls saved this Friday night. We thank Thee for all who have come. We see so many here who have traveled a distance to be present. So many in this company who have labored hard to get friends and loved ones in. We thank Thee for every effort and every prayer and every sacrifice made. May it all redound to the honor of that blessed Savior who hung upon the cross. And God grant that there might be some tonight in this company who will look back on this Friday night as the night of their new birth. For we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Number 73.